We are working with UNICEF to produce a plan for safe reopening of the schools. And when the statement came out, Dr. Mohammed, the chief of UNICEF in South Sudan, emailed it to me. We also agree with them in a way that opening schools is important. But we need to open the schools in a safe manner. We need to disinfect the schools, 6,000 schools in South Sudan. These schools must be disinfected, okay, so that the parents are confident to send the kids back to school. Because we speak to parents, and what the message that we are getting is mixed. Some parents want to want schools to be reopened, and some parents saying, no, I can't go take my child to school at this particular time. So we must disinfect the schools. We must have hygiene, sanitation in the schools, that is provision of water, soaps, and sanitizers, all the PPE stuff that you can think about. Now, we are saying we need to prepare these things. So when these things are ready, are prepared, this can convince the country and you know, the government to say, okay, now the Minister of Education with its partners are, you know, prepared and are safely going to reopen the schools. So our argument is this is massive. It has huge financial implications. We have support from Global Partnership for Education, something like $6-7 million as a part of COVID-19 preparedness and response to COVID-19 pandemic. But this money is not enough to disinfect the 6,000 schools. Okay? So what they're saying is we could reopen for the candidate classes, that is senior 4 and primary 8. Okay? But of course, we have to do this work. It must be meticulous. It must be correct so that we convince the nation that we can reopen in a safe manner. So we are talking about stage approach in terms of reopening. And as you know, also in the region, no one is opening in the region. There's a school
exactly.
in Uganda that are,
This brings me to this question. We have cases like Kenya, where there's a lot of testing going on, and they are considering locking down the country again. And here in South Sudan, we barely even have a lockdown. And if you reopen the schools, don't you think that we will be increasing the risk of exposure and the spread, especially of asymptomatic carriers? Because we don't even have it. The screening is not stable. So are you considering all this?
Yes, I'm with you, Kaden. I mean, this is my predicament that we have our health screening procedures are weak. I know colleagues in the Ministry of Health are talking about opening a new center for testing. They want to bring a testing kit, which can give us results in 40 minutes. But still, this won't be enough. This will not give us the huge picture, the overall picture. So, reopening, for me, at this particular stage, is highly risky. And that is why we have to be very, very cautious. There's only one country in Africa that opened schools, and that is Botswana. Okay? Nobody else has opened schools, especially in the region. And, of course, we live in a region that has got some of the high instances of infection, like Kenya and Sudan. So to reopen now in this particular fashion, I think I agree with you, would be highly risky. We cannot open the schools in this current situation. And by the way, reopening the schools is not a matter for us. It is a matter for the Ministry of Health. As I said, we are working closely with the Ministry of Health, with our partners like UNICEF, UNESCO, to monitor the situation. And then it is there and then that they will say, okay, now we can reopen. The academic year in South Sudan begins in February and ends in December. And already we are now in July. So we have lost a big chunk of it. But I think the most important thing I want to emphasize here is safety. Safety of children, safety of our communities, and safety of everyone.
Okay. So, but as you said, you're working on a plan. So when were you thinking of implementing this plan, given our current situation?
The plan is a process. It has to be implemented in stages. So what we were doing is we have got about 100,000 students that are candidate classes, primary 8, about 70,000, and 35,000 in senior 4. So we are working with the schools, and we'll say that a school, for example, that may have 180 people that are sitting in senior 4, they can be distributed in all these classes. Okay, so if they have what five classes or six classes, then you can put the students in those classes, and of course there will be social distancing in the class. But of course we need to disinfect the schools. We need to provide them with all this PPE stuff. We need to train teachers. We need to have a very good convincing back to learning campaign. So what we are doing is with UNICEF and UNESCO, we are working on this plan. We have to draw the plan together. And of course, this plan, as I said, has financial implications, whether we have the funds, the resources to be able to implement it. Currently, we are also running a distant learning program. I'm sure your colleagues in Mirai FM will tell you.
Yes.
We are running a distant learning program, interactive, where we're delivering lessons in key subjects, English language, mathematics, and sciences, on radio, Radio FM, and of course Radio Juba. We started this thing in March. UNICEF and UNESCO are supporting us in that. We're also running ECD lessons on television, on SSBC television, so which is good. Obviously, this is not enough, and it is not perfect, but of course, it is better than nothing. We have got this learning program, which is delivered on radio. Children, particularly girls, should be given the space to be able to benefit from it. We know that there are some problems with this, like lack of radio sets, and we are working with UNICEF to procure radio sets, which we are going to distribute around next month. So let's just be safe. This is the message I want to say. Let's keep our children safe, and let's keep our community safe.
Okay. I was about to ask you how you're going to reach more people using the radio learning program, and you mentioned the radios. So what other plans do you have to engage more students around the country on this on-air learning program?
On-air learning program has got challenges. I think the main challenge is we're not having a national coverage. So what we have done, lately we drafted in a network of community radios, and they are in Kapoita. They are airing Kapoita in Wairial, and then we have one in Twitch Mayardit. Then there is in Twitch, it's called Mayardit FM. Then there's one in Awil. So this one, they hook from you guys and from SSBC. We also in Juba, we have a radio called Capital FM, which has got unique listeners, audience, and we have also enlisted their support. We're also going to use online. Program. So the lessons on video or on audio will be uploaded on the website of the ministry, and then children can and parents and their parents can download those lessons.
When are you planning to launch this online learning?
Pretty soon.
And this will be for which grade? Primary school?
Okay. The online learning program is going to give us the opportunity to target the entire national curriculum. You know, we are implementing a new national curriculum this year. This is a South Sudanese national curriculum. And because it is online, we're going to upload all the textbooks that we have. So we're going to have a complete digital library. And even the scripts, the scripts the teachers are now using to deliver lessons will be uploaded on that.
Okay, so again,
so it's not going to be like the radio or the TV. I think pretty soon, we're going to do it very soon. And you remember, Kaden?
Yes.
So the program was actually launched at officially launched by our minister, Honorable Lawu Deng-Akin, and the special representative of the Secretary General, and Dr. Muhammad himself, the chief of UNICEF. They launched this sometimes 2 months ago. So we are going to do the same thing. We're going to launch the online, because UNICEF and UNESCO are actually supporting us to build this program, yes, the online program.